Welcome to The Thinking Tree, a podcast to help believers renew their minds and reform their hearts. I'm Adam Sanchez.
And I'm Jeff Noe.
And today we are discussing spiritual disciplines for parents and the importance of fellowship. All right, listeners, we are back with our lovely wives. You would not believe how long it took to nail that introduction, but we did by God's grace. We are talking about the importance of fellowship as a spiritual discipline for parents on this episode. And so here's the question. How should parents, Christian parents, pursue biblical fellowship? How should they? Mm. So we are going to give some directions here on this episode about parents pursuing biblical fellowship. Why is this an issue? Let me at least address a couple of things. Life is not easy. We've talked about this going back now three seasons on The Thinking Tree. Yep. The difficulties of parenting at different stages of life, being overwhelmed, being overbooked, the schedule is crazy. Different kids have different needs and struggles, and it's not an easy life. So there's so many things that parents need to consider. But one of those things that's important is how a family prioritizes also the church family.
Yep.
And that's something that we constantly discuss here at Oak Hill with our members. The reality is that church involvement during those early years of parenting often dwindles. Yeah. It wanes. We see that those early years of scheduling, parents really can struggle to prioritize really all aspects of life, but especially the fellowship within the local body. We know that regular and consistent fellowship within the local body is essential as a Christian to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that we've received. What are some of the difficulties that we face then when it comes to that season, when it comes to the issue of fellowship, what are some of the things that you see that hinder believers from pursuing fellowship?
Well, it's been a while since we were young parents, but I remember them well. It was hard. If you think it's going to be easy to be young parents and try to keep the same level of church commitment and fellowship commitment, as when you were single or even young marrieds, then you're naive.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's right. not the same.
Yeah.
But the as you said, it's essential, and that doesn't change.
Yes.
And so here's the thing: you're going to be tired, right? You're going to be tired. There's going to be all kinds of circumstances that throw themselves at you that are going to try to prevent you from involving in fellowship, whether that's Sunday morning and somebody wakes up not feeling well or whatever, maybe it's midweek or something. Those things are always going to happen, and so you have to expect it. You have to expect it.
Right.
And here's the thing. It is really easy to fall into a pattern of making excuses.
Yeah.
Once you give into the, unless conditions are perfect, we're going to blow things off.
Right. Right.
It's very easy to fall into that pattern. Just say, well, another child's sick or we didn't get a good enough night's sleep. And pretty soon those excuses stack up.
Right. Yeah.
And it becomes a habit.
Right.
So you have to commit. You have to commit to push through.
Yeah.
Because you know it's best for you and it's best for your kids.
So you don't just pursue fellowship when it's easy.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if you wait for the time to be perfect, it won't be.
Sure.
There's always going to, you think, oh, this is just a phase. We're going through this. And once we get past that, then it'll be easier.
Because
there's another phase.
Right.
And it's different and it's harder. But if you have established the habit of fellowship, the habit of worship together corporately with the body, it's not a, we discussed this in a podcast a while ago, of just, it's not a question each and every week, are we going?
Mm, right.
It's a question of why wouldn't we go? Mm-hmm. Of course we're going to go.
Or how are we going to get there?
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or yeah.
Or what does it look like when we arrive?
Right.
Right. What is it going to even look like if we're, maybe I sit I sit in the hallway and listen over the speaker because my child's not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to church.
Right.
How are we going to work this out? It's a different mindset in versus Saturday night. Well, looking at each other, what do you think?
Maybe we'll stay home this week.
Right.
Yeah. I remember when Chandler was little, we put her in the nursery on Sunday. Tuesday, she'd get sick. About Friday, she'd start feeling better.
Right.
Go to church on Sunday, and Tuesday, she'd get sick.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it felt like months of that.
Yeah.
But not to blow our own horns, but we just didn't stop going just because she got sick on every Tuesday. It was frustrating. Yeah. Shoot, it was very frustrating.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But it wasn't something that we said, oh, well, it's the church's fault, or, oh, we can't do this. So we just kept plowing through that. And eventually it stopped. Like, okay, all right, we got through that.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be a reason to not go if you're looking mm-hmm. for a reason to not go.
Right.
I think that people also project problems. Like, what if my baby cries in the auditorium? That will be embarrassing. Or what if, yeah. And they project what ifs mm-hmm, and they mm-hmm. are fearful of it rather than saying, okay, we'll deal with that if it happens. May not happen, but it could happen, but it may not happen. But none of that necessarily needs to affect your action and what you're going to be doing.
They're projecting.
Right.
They're projecting how they might feel on other people when really people are actually very gracious.
Mm. Right.
More gracious than you think.
Right.
And so, and they want to see you in church too. And they want, and even if your child's not perfect, they want to see you in church.
Yeah.
And so we push through.
Right.
Yeah. I think that when we talk about the priority of it, and we're talking about being in church, right? In town, in church, that's right. What we say. And then in fellowship during the week, it can feel, there can be a pushback of like, that's really legalistic. We always got to be there, even if we're getting sick, even if it's a difficulty. And the reality is we're talking about habits here too, right? And the question of, this is just what our family does. We want our children to see us modeling and it be such a part of a culture that we are just in church. It's a given. It's a priority.
Yeah, this is what we do.
Yeah, we just don't even think about doing something else, right? Unless someone's legitimately sick, obviously home and all that.
Right.
But yeah, for parents when you're young parents and you're adjusting to the new life, yeah, it's everything. We're tired.
Yeah.
It's sick. We're sick. I have a fussy baby, so I'm going to be as a mom, I'm going to be in the hallway the whole time. I'm not even going to get to really fellowship.
Right.
It's right during nap time. It's going to mess up nap time. It's going to mess up nap times for the next day. Every Monday is going to be terrible because Sunday's right during nap time, feed time, all of that kind of stuff. Or I'm in conflict with somebody, or we were the only parents for 2 whole years with our first. So me, I was like, well, there's no one else in my season of life, right? So I could be discouraged by that. Or somebody's judging me on my parenting decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody else. There's a clique of mom friends over there. So I don't really want to go because I don't want. So there's so many that we could have. There's lots to be said about all of that. And those are the things of life, and we're going to walk through those. But I do remember reading an article a long time ago when Eden was small. I think I've passed it on to many parents in the church, called "Are Sundays Good for Babies?" And it talked about the nap thing because, you know, inevitably you get right there and then the naps move, but they move to a worse time. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to nap right before church and they don't get it. Now they're napping in the middle of the church and don't get it. Now they're napping at the end of church and they're just messes and whatever. And I really appreciate the article talked about, they're not good for babies in their routine. And that's a good thing. Sundays should be a different day from the rest of the week. The rest of the week, we can stick to our nap time guns. We can do everything. We can ward off the germs and all of that. But Sundays should be different because Sundays are for the Lord. So we allow nap time to be wrecked and we allow our schedules to be wrecked and we just lower the expectations and consume more goldfish than we think should be necessary on a singular day because church is important because God is important.
Right.
So I was always appreciated that. Like, it is hard. Like, no, we're not going to sugarcoat it and say it's easy. It's hard.
Right.
It's a good hard. Stick this hard out. Don't let this hard defeat you.
Right.
And then your family's habit and priorities become off kilter.
Right, right.
Can I just bring up the spiritual aspect of this as well? Mm-hmm. If you are allowing the excuses, if you're allowing the reasons to not go, you should check your own heart. Do I not long to be at church? Because that can be an issue too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that into it.
Yep.
So you know what? If the kid didn't sleep well, eh. See, that's a whole nother issue. Tanny was mentioning that's who we were as a family when our kids were young. But I got to tell you, we looked forward to church because our friends, our church family and our friends were there.
Yep.
We could not wait to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to push through because some of it was selfish. It was good for me. I needed to be there. I needed to worship and we needed to be in that Sunday school class and those were our friends were. And so we longed to be in church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's a piece, don't underestimate that piece to the equation. Like, maybe it's me.
Right. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think there can be a misunderstanding both of church and of our responsibilities in church. There's an often overlooked verse in 1 John, the end of chapter 4, basically he's making this comparison. He says, you can't love God who you have not seen if you're not loving your brother whom you have seen. And the only way you can love a brother is to be with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't love them just by sending thoughts and feelings and emotions.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You're sending my thoughts and prayers. No, you love them indeed. And that's what he talks about throughout multiple chapters in 1 John. So that principle that you're talking about, Jeff, if we're not desiring to be with the body, earnestly saying, this is my opportunity to love the brothers, to love the sisters in the church, then we're probably, I think what's happening, we're not loving God well.
Right.
That's what's happening. And we should check our heart and repent of that and say, God, help me to love and delight in fellowship in the church. Help me to not feel awkward when I'm around people that I just don't know how to start a conversation. Help me to not, all of those things need to be worked out because we probably have a misunderstanding the purpose of the church.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And last thing I checked at Oak Hill, we have a covenant that we all sign, and it does not say that we will fellowship until we have children.
And then disappear for a while.
Yes, and disappear for a while. And I will say, too, just as a parent who's gone through to adulthood with my children, there will come a day where it is very hard to get your teenager to go to church. Mm. They are going to have every reason in the world why they don't want to go. And you've got a sullen 16-year-old who does not want to go to church and will not get ready and will not get dressed on time. And if you have not shown him for years and years and years how we push through and we make this happen, and this is a high priority for mom and dad, your battle is going to be greater than he's going to be able to say, well, I saw you quit a lot. Mm. So why do I need to push through?
Yeah.
It will come back to bite you. So you need to start with the littles, as hard as it is to practice, how can we be faithful? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean perfect. It doesn't mean you'll never be able to miss. It doesn't mean that, you know, you won't make a wise decision sometimes when there's 3 out of 4 of you that are sick to stay home and help your wife who's sick. But there's going to be a mindset of the majority of the time, our best efforts are always going to be to go to enjoy fellowship with one another. And it's not just about church. There's the fellowship aspect of beyond the walls of church.
Yeah, so, I was going to ask about that.
Inviting, you know, we took it as a great opportunity to go out to lunch with different families after church. It was just like, okay, church ended. Hey, here you go. So we'd have 1 or 2 families and we didn't try to make it always the same families. We tried to mix that up. But just like, hey, just go, we're going to get a cheap taco and we're just going to go for a quickie. But the kids they're already late for nap. Everything's already still messed up on the time schedule. So what's another 45 minutes? We're just going to go and we have to have lunch anyways. So there is fellowship outside the body that you can be very consistent with too. But if you're going to forfeit church, you're probably going to forfeit the other stuff too.
So if somebody is being faithful with the Sunday gathering, but they're struggling in midweek, because I think we made a really good case for Sunday.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about stuff beyond the Sunday gathering. How would we encourage them as a parent to involve their children in that fellowship aspect?
Well, first of all, I would say, men, this is a spiritual leadership issue.
Ooh.
Shots fired.
Yes. 90% of your child's involvement in church, VBS, Awana, Sunday school is going to be led and directed by your wife. Most of it. This is an opportunity for you as a husband to sit down with your wife and say, what can we do? Mm-hmm. Let's find what we can do as a family, and I am going to lead the charge in making this happen. We're going to invite a family over for dinner. Mm-hmm. We're going to find a babysitter so we can go to a community group. Whatever it is, husbands, you need to step up on this. You need to lead your wife. She's tired. She's been pushing through. She's been getting your kids to school. She's been getting them everything else done for them in their lives. And this is something, husbands, that you can step in and bless your wife by being the support that she needs and the leader in this area.
Develop a strategy to make it happen together. And babysitters can be huge. Again, I know that doesn't involve the kid, but sometimes you just need to be at a C group.
It's still modeling for them, the importance of gathering.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So babysitters are huge.
Yeah, I would say be creative. Sometimes we think, well, I can only look a certain type of a way, mm-hmm. Which is just really silly, and also nowhere in scripture, right?
Right.
Give me chapter and verse. Yeah, if it's meeting with another couple, if it's being a part of a C group, if it's just texting, if you're sick, we got sick for 3 weeks over Christmas break. Like if all you can do is text encouraging things and checking in on other people and having that fellowship, make it happen. The fellowship aspect is really where we work out the one another's, like Adam mm-hmm. mentioned earlier. And there is no, you can do the one another's except when. There's no exception when, regardless of age, stage of life, health condition, all of that, we're called to one another. And thanks to technology, there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. Like mm-hmm. take advantage of that. It doesn't have to look a particular type of way. Your family is unique. Your circumstances are unique, right? Your jobs and schedulings are going to be unique. Your kids in different life stages. Like, get together, the two of you, strategize and be creative with mm-hmm. it. You're called to obey. How are you going to obey?
Right, right.
You know, I was in Malawi recently, and we were asked the question. We weren't directly asked the question. Anyways, the situation was the churches were wrestling with serving their own people versus serving outside the body. So that's the wrestle match. Is we know we're called especially to the household of faith, Galatians 6, right?
Right, right?
So do good to all, but especially to the household of faith. So there is a special priority that we should have towards those who are in our body. However, the rub, and this is what I wanted to bring to bear to them from God's word, in 1 Timothy 5, you have a very specific passage about how the church is to care for widows, meaning those who are inside mm-hmm. the church who are widows. And the reason I wanted to bring that to bear for them was they were wrestling with, aren't we supposed to help everybody who's inside the church?
Right.
And I wanted to bring this list of qualifications for the widow to them to say, not as much as you might think. Like scripture, in terms of what Paul encourages, the widow that you help in the church, there's a qualification. She has to be put on the list if she's not less than 60 years old, if she's the wife of one man, if she has no family to provide for. Mm-hmm. There's a list. And the rest I want to get to in just a second. But I wanted to point out that it's not that you just help everybody in the church, but you help those that you have opportunity to who don't have others. You're mm-hmm. looking for an opportunity to serve. That's the eyes mm-hmm. that Paul mm-hmm. is encouraging. Have eyes to see who really needs help mm-hmm. and go help them. Mm-hmm. Not just, oh, well, they're my church, I only help them. And we're not encouraging the opposite. Go just outside and don't help anyone inside. But here's what I wanted to point out in regards to fellowship. The interesting thing that Paul points out here in verse 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says she has to have shown hospitality to strangers, washed the saints' feet, assisted those in affliction, and devoted herself to every good work. And here's what I want to point out. We're talking about young parents. We're talking about mothers who can be exhausted, fathers who can be exhausted. They're busy. They're doing so many things between work and other responsibilities, kids, extracurriculars, you name it. But here, we're learning about a widow who has to have been devoted to hospitality to strangers, washing the saints' feet, assisted those in affliction, and devoted to every good work. That's a widow.
Yeah.
What are we called to as young parents? I got to think about, you know what? I don't think the list is different. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is different. I don't think there's a different standard of godliness that we should be pursuing. I think if the widow who has brought up children, it says here, is to show hospitality, wash the saints' feet, assist those in affliction, devoted herself to every good work. I think that we as young parents are called to the same thing. It's going to look a little different, sure, because we don't have the same time availability, but the heart disposition should be there. That's what we should be devoted to in serving others. So going back to the question of, do we love being with the body, whether it's on a Sunday or during the week? If we're not loving being with the body, that's a question for our own heart.
Right.
That's a question of, do I love Jesus? Do I see his great sacrifice for me and see that he has now given me a new life to go and serve him? And the way I serve him is actually by serving others.
Right.
If we understand that, we're going to be pursuing every fellowship opportunity that God gives. We're going to be at every Sunday gathering. We're going to be at every midweek thing we can do. We're going to be reaching out to other believers during the week, spending time with them, praying with them, texting them, all of those things. I do see a lot of that at Oak Hill, which I'm so thankful for.
Yeah.
But can we excel still more? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We can absolutely excel still more.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to brag on Jessie here for a minute because I found that she did a great job, or still does a great job, with bringing the kids into loving the body. Doesn't mean that it's always going to be a 2-hour visit, but how many times have you shown up at my door with, here's a flower because it's your birthday or because it's Mother's Day, and she's out in the car and she's got 6 more flowers. She's going to be out delivering with the kids, but she's talking to the kids. The kids write me notes because they know who I am and know of me since they've been very little, because Jessie's been very, very diligent about that. We have a membership directory at Oak Hill. How easy would it be for you as a family to sit down and open that up and say, kids, look at, here's Brittany and Daniel Hebert. We're going to pray for their family tonight. Mm-hmm. And oh, let's write a little note to them and let's take that over to their daughter and give her a little toy. I mean, you can do so many things that don't require hours of time, but are still intentional service towards other people, loving other people well, and a touch point with the body that is a huge blessing. Or even just send them a text. Mm-hmm. We prayed for your family tonight over our dinner table. Mm-hmm. And you can bring your kids into that.
Yeah. Tell your kids about it. That's right. Coming back to the principle.
Bring them in.
Bring them into it.
Yeah.
You may be doing those things, mm-hmm. but have your kids seen it or mm-hmm. heard about it.
That's good.
Love it.
All right. Hey, I think that's awesome. We'll wrap up on this one here. The whole parenting series, by the way, we continue to pursue here on the Thinking Tree, because not only do we have a lot of young parents in our own local church, but we recognize that the battle that's being fought in our culture is really for our children. And so we want to equip our Christian parents to shepherd their children well, to encourage them to walk in a manner pleasing to the Lord. And so we that's what we pray to the end with these conversations, that they will help in that regard and in that manner. So
Amen.
We pray this conversation today has helped you to renew your mind and reform your hearts. And we'll catch you next time on The Thinking Tree.